Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com and the author of the Prayer Prescription Series. The Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of this show. Please go to katelovingschenck.com to receive a book I wrote called The Self-Healing Manifesto, and you can get it at the top right hand of that page. My guest this evening is Sheila Duncan of Trouble the Dog fame. Sheila and I are celebrating the four-year anniversary of this show, Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. We will be discussing the most recent adventures of Trouble the Dog. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Duncan. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hello, Kate. Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you.
My pleasure. So tell us about your most recent adventures with Trouble the Dog and anything else you have in mind.
Well, I'll tell you, there are all sorts of big, exciting things happening with Trouble. In the past month, we finally, after maybe 6 months of desperate searching, have found a wonderful company to produce Trouble entirely in the USA, which is huge. And we're expecting our first shipment I thought it was going to be at the end of this month. I think it's going to be maybe a week late. So maybe the first week of March, Trouble USA-made Trouble will be in the house.
Wow.
We also, and that's, you know, if you look around a child's bedroom and you pick up all of the plush animals, none of them that I know of are made in the USA. So we're very proud of that accomplishment. And it was
tremendous.
Thank you. And it was not easy.
Because everything is made in China and they're not really the safest thing. Well, anyway, I think Trouble was safe, but I think that in the end, China is not known for its safety issues with dog toys and animal toys.
Well, you know, I have to say that the company that we dealt with in China, we dealt with a couple of different companies. I have to say they were very, very good. The problem was, because the pricing is, you know, Trouble will cost me probably 4.5 times what it would cost me to have him manufactured in China. But the USA-made Trouble, you know, the fabric is, if you can imagine, is even softer. Trouble is a little bit bigger. And that was a big sticking point with the last manufacturer. They just couldn't get the fabric straight, and I couldn't have Trouble. He has to be soft. I mean, the kids, they sleep with him. They sing to him. They, you know, he has to be soft. So it was meant to be, I believe, that he be made in this country. And we're really, really excited about it. And all sorts of people, once he arrives, just want to talk to us, which is going to be really great. So that's the first bit of news about Trouble.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. And the next bit of news is that our gentleman who's an architect here in Marblehead, you know, very well known, his name is Robert Zarelli, also loves Trouble. And he designed a house for Trouble, and we actually had it made through a wonderful company in Braintree, Superior Packaging. And it's a dog house on which children can color and illustrate their feelings. And we hadn't planned to launch it until, you know, the American Made Troubles arrived. But when Newtown happened, then we went into overdrive, and the people at Superior Packaging, who I can't say enough about, they worked 24/7 to get these houses ready, you know, mm-hmm. for us to bring to Newtown. So you know, a lot of really wonderful things happening around Trouble the Dog these days.
Yes.
He's helping a lot of kids.
Yeah, tell us about your adventure, and I shouldn't even say, you know, the adventure, but the situation when you took Trouble and your entourage to Newtown.
Well, what happened was the day it happened, I had been out of town, and I came home. I didn't know anything. I sat at my computer, and I was just shocked, you know, to see what was happening.
Yeah.
And my neighbor came across the street, and he said, "Sheila, we have got to get Trouble to these kids in Newtown." I said, "You know what? You're absolutely correct." I didn't realize. I thought I had someone who could meet us when we arrived, you know. What we did was he has a truck, and we brought 150 Trouble dogs, dog houses, which I say the Superior Packaging guys literally worked, you know, like 3 days and three nights to get them done, because I told them I hadn't needed them till January.
Right.
And Trouble books. And so we thought we had it set up where someone would meet us and bring us to a, you know, somewhere where we could leave Trouble for the families, and that on the way down to Connecticut, that fell through. We left at the crack of dawn. We went and picked up the houses, and unfortunately, that connection fell through. So miraculously,
right.
I have a woman who also helps me with dog rescue. Her name is Kim Mishick, and I got a Christmas card from her. And I hadn't thought about this before, but she lives in Sandy Hook. So
oh, boy,
she,
that's great.
Yeah, she agreed to meet us at a Starbucks in Newtown. Another girl, wonderful girl by the name of Jackie Fish, also came with us. And so there were the four of us at Starbucks in Newtown, in Sandy Hook, right next to the church where, you know, there were four funerals that particular day. And we have nowhere to bring these Trouble dogs. So, Craig, it's a long story, but Craig saw a newscaster that he recognized from Nesson, and he immediately put Craig on the news, and I just came in on the tail end. And we were hoping that someone would see it and maybe step up to the plate and help us, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we then went to the VFW, and they offered to help, but they really didn't have, you know, adequate facilities. It would have been very inconvenient for them.
Yeah.
So Kim stepped up to the plate. She was an angel, and she said, "If you'll trust me to keep Trouble, then I will do my best to get him to the families in need."
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I didn't mention is a friend of mine is a state trooper in Connecticut, and he couldn't help us because he was working that day. And he said every day they just assign them to, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we brought Trouble to her home. We put him in the garage. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. See, I hadn't realized that at this point there were a million stuffed animals that were donated to Newtown.
Oh,
I mean, you couldn't even get near the holding facility. That's how it was, just an unbelievable outpouring of love from people all over the world.
Yes.
So Trouble was, you know, in this garage in Sandy Hook, and Kim, you know, I knew I could trust her because, you know, if you rescue dogs, I could trust her to do anything.
Of course.
And I didn't hear from her. She said, you know, I'll do my best. And she unfortunately was going to a funeral the next morning. And Christmas Eve, I got a text from my trooper friend. You know, they assigned state troopers to each one of the families. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that, but, you know, to protect the families who lost children from the press and, you know, just everybody. Because it was just, you know, they were just inundated. And so my trooper friend sent me a text Christmas Eve, and he said, "I just wanted to let you know a trooper is with one of the families, and they have Trouble the Dog."
Oh, that is really interesting.
wonderful. And then I sent a text to Kim, you know, to tell her, and she said, I was just about to send you a message that now 8 of the families have troubled the dog. Thank you so much. So he was meant to be with those kids. And since then, you know, different people have been contacting her, you know, to utilize trouble, therapists, et cetera. So,
so
he's doing good work down there, and we're going to just make sure that whoever needs them can get them. So that's the goal there.
So the children who received trouble in Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook, were what were their, does anybody tell you their specific reactions to trouble when they received them?
No, I just know that you know, from the trooper, I just know that the kids love trouble. I didn't, you know, it's such a delicate situation that I didn't you know, I didn't what am I trying to say? I didn't really tell. I'm telling the story now because, you know, people know about it. But it didn't really come from me, you know. So we didn't publicize it. We only went on the news to try to find somebody that could house him. So we haven't contacted the families, or, you know, we just want them to know that trouble's there, and if they need more, we got them.
Yes, and it is true that it's more on a magical level, or even a spiritual level than anything else.
Yep, you're absolutely correct, because, you know, it just all the pieces, which it didn't seem like it was going to happen when we were on our way down there, but all the pieces really came together for trouble to be where he was supposed to be. So I'm really grateful for that, because I just could not come home. My neighbor who drove me down there, I said, I cannot leave trouble in a holding facility to get him, you know, have him shipped out somewhere and get lost with a million stuffed animals. And he said, well, if you're not comfortable, we'll bring him home and we'll bring him back down again. So it really all came together. You're right. Very magically.
Yeah. Lots of synchronicity.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Exactly. So it was wonderful. So as I said, I'm very grateful for that. So as you know, trouble's a very magical little guy.
That's right. So tell us about trouble's houses that you were referring to.
Well, this house is, I'll tell you this, you know, I think sometimes the simplest solutions are the best. And so Bob Zarella, the architect, I said, you know, I'd like some sort of unique packaging for trouble. And he said, you know, I already have an idea. Before I even, he said, I've been thinking about something and I have an idea. So he designed this house so it's flat, you know. When someone orders trouble, you know, the house comes along and it's flat. So what happens is, trouble's sort of a, what am I trying to say? He allows a family, when trouble arrives, then the family, the mother and father or father or whoever it is, sit with the child and put the house together. You know, it's very easy. It has tabs. So, and it looks like, as you know, it looks like a doghouse. It has windows, so it has window in the back, so his tail can stick out the back. The name Trouble is cut out, die cut, over the door. We wanted to have a little American flag put over the word Trouble. So, you know, the kids can color it. It looks like a child drew it. I wanted to the right of the door, our heart with the word hope in it, because, you know, Trouble's all about hope in tough times. And one of the guys at Superior Packaging actually drew the heart and wrote the word hope. So it's very, it's a very old-fashioned house, and kids, they just go crazy coloring on it. You know, one child started out with a shamrock, which I thought was pretty interesting. Since he's German, I thought that was kind of funny.
It
opens up. You know, it gives kids a chance to express themselves, and, you know, it's really been a wonderful tool a wonderful tool for families to open up, you know, have kids tell them what's on their mind or whatever. And that's why it was so great that the first, you know, that the first Trouble Houses wound up in Newtown. So that really worked out well.
It does work out well.
Yep. And, you know, I should mention, too, that the one of the banks in Marblehead set up a, you know, an account, and you know, people made donations, and it was really a moving day. So it was great. We would have gone no matter what, but it was good to have some help too.
Oh yes, and
yeah.
Angelic help.
And angelic help also. Yes, exactly. Yep.
Help from all over the place.
This is true. This is true. And the last thing that I'll tell you, which is pretty exciting. Is, and it's a really long story, and I'm not going to bore you with it, but pretty angelic also is that there is a Trouble ballad in the making. And
oh.
And so far, it's a pretty amazing song. It's, you know, got a few tweaks that are going to be made to it to make it a little bit longer. And, yeah, so at some point, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, you'll be hearing a Trouble ballad coming along.
Well, who is writing it?
It's a gentleman, you know, I rescue, well, Pearl came from Nashville, and it
yes.
is a gentleman who's a songwriter in Nashville, so it just happened. It just happened yesterday, so
oh,
I don't
really
want to trip
cool.
myself up, but it's pretty cool. Yep, so.
Yes, for our listening audience, my dog, who's now barking to go out, Pearlie is her name, and Sheila got... is a rescue, has to tell us your latest rescue adventures too. Sheila is rescues dogs, especially in Tennessee. You must
yeah.
really have some deep bonds in Tennessee, I'll tell you.
Well, I do, and you know, interestingly, this songwriter, I was introduced to him. A girl from Marblehead got married, moved to Tennessee, and she's been helping us out with dog rescue too. So I've really
mm-hmm.
met a lot of interesting people. You know, helping dogs, I've met some great people. So.
Oh my gosh, dog people! There's nothing. Animal people are just. There's nothing
they're
like them.
That's right. That's right. They're the best. And you know, the dogs in Tennessee, as you know. They really need help, and it's just getting, you know, people are losing their homes, people are having to give up their dogs, you know, it's a really tough situation down there, and Pearl's a perfect example.
Yeah, I think that we found out when we got Pearl that she, I was glad they didn't fix her and send her up, because they trusted us enough to let know that we would get her fixed. But
yes.
She also had a hernia, and I sometimes wonder if the people who had her knew that she would require some veterinarian help, and that they just dumped her for probably a variety of reasons. But she was obviously dumped, and who knows her long-term story or how long she was running around. But they said her birthday is October the 15th.
The dogs in the South, I mean, there's one sad story after the next. And, you know, I'll give you an example. A person in the South can lose a dog and not even look for it. They just pick up another one. I mean, a lot of the people don't treat dogs the way that we do. You know, they leave them outside. They don't bring them in ever. So it's as you know, One of my goals when Trouble becomes the next Mickey Mouse, which I'm working towards, is to build a nice sanctuary in the South, because the dogs really need help down there. People are just doing the best they can, but they just keep on coming.
Yes, and they run in packs, I understand.
They run in packs, and, you know, for example, the first dog I ever rescued from the South, and this is sort of a neat story, he looked like a stuffed animal. He was black, coal black. He was 6 weeks old and 6 pounds, and he was on a highway in Tennessee by himself.
Oh.
So we scooped him, and, you know, then, you have to find a foster home for him, because he was too little. you know, he's too little to be neutered at that point. He was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all of that. And, you know, the fact that that Pearl came to you not being spayed, you know, was simply because I knew you and spoke up
exactly.
for you. And,
yeah. I wanted to
oh, yeah,
because
that would never
yeah.
happen. No, that would never happen, you know. So anyway.
No.
This puppy now, I just talked to his owner the other day. He said he's the best thing that ever happened to him, and he now weighs 120 pounds.
Oh,
he's a Newfie, I think a Newfie lab mix, and he's brown.
Oh, he sounds beautiful.
He's absolutely beautiful, but that just gives you an idea of you know, what's going on down there. This dog.
So that was the first. This dog that you're just talking about is the very first dog that you
Yes, he was the very first dog. Yep, the minute I saw his picture, I knew I had to do something.
Yes. And
you
know? Do find the most remarkable homes for these dogs, the ones that these dogs are meant to be rescued and they're meant to go to the homes that love them totally with great
yes.
devotion. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're absolutely, yep, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, I keep them. I can't foster all of them. I have a gentleman here, Marblehead, Tom Samuelson, who helps me out. But I had a dog, Buddy, who was like a gigantic version of your Pearl. And
yeah,
he was with me.
Beautiful dog.
Beautiful dog. Very, very intelligent and easier than my own dog, I have to say. And I had him for 8 weeks. I just took him everywhere.
Was it just wonderful to have him?
It was wonderful. The only problem was my dog sort of got, he was so desperate for attention, you know, because these dogs, they don't understand. His owners gave him up. And, you know, one minute he's got a home and the next minute he's on a transport truck, you know, coming to New England. They're a little bit traumatized, as you know, when they first arrive.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
he just loved being with me and sort of pushed my pup out of the way. So. It would be tough for me to have two dogs because my own dog is such a crybaby.
Well, no. You know, you have the people who rescue dogs, including yourself, do have a mentality that when you take these dogs into your home, you don't really have any, you know, intent to keep them.
No.
You have a great intent to find the right home for them, and you don't have any desire to keep them yourself. I mean, not a desire, but your intent is such that you have a strong yearning to find the right home, and you're not going to keep all the dogs that you bring home and stuff like that.
Right, but you fall in love with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You really
yeah.
do. You know, they all have their, you know what it is, and I really believe this, is that they're all so grateful. You know, they all have different personalities and, you know, some are more traumatized than others, but they all are just so grateful. It's just, I'll do it as long as I can. And I just want to be able to do it on a bigger scale.
Yes. Well, I noticed, now Pearl is an extremely intelligent dog, and she seems to understand things long before you would think that she would, and she seems to understand them immediately upon you telling her anything.
Isn't that great?
It's just amazing. And she is a wild dog. And
right.
She still has, what I was explaining earlier to you before we got on the show, is that she ran away from me, and she gets this sort of wild look in her eye.
Right.
And but now she did stop and let me put her on a lead, which she wouldn't have done even a month ago or 2 months
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So there's
so
some progress here. Yeah.
She's bonded to you.
Mm-hmm.
She loves her home.
Yes. Now, what happens during the summer months and she's starting to do it now is that she will start digging up worms and bugs, and that was what she lived on when she was a wild dog.
I know.
And
isn't it amazing?
She'll probably always do that. You know, she's just a wild dog that loves to eat, was raised on bugs, and she
right.
loves voles. She'll dig up voles. If she found a mouse, she would, you know, she has this amazing
hunting instinct.
With
yep.
Hunting instinct, exactly.
And just to survive.
Now, have you noticed that amongst the dogs that are also rescued like that, where when they've been outdoors for a long time, do they have that wild instinct and hunting instinct?
You know, they're all a little bit different. The last dog that we rescued, as a matter of fact, is still with a foster father now, and she got off the transport truck, and she's a really smart cookie, and she was looking all over the place. You know, I had her on the leash. She almost broke my neck, and she was pointing. She was trying to figure out, you know, where she was because, you know, that when they come up here, that you know, they're on the truck for like 3 days. So she was really desperate to figure out where she was. And we can't let them off the leash unless they're at a dog park or something, because they'll just run because they're trying to get to a semblance of home. You know, until they settle in, we can't, you know, we can't let them go. So.
No. In fact, I can take her usually off the lead around the house, but anywhere else she would just take off.
Exactly.
I think that'll change, though. I think after a few years she will.
I think so too.
Settle down.
I think so too. And she's such a beauty, you know. She's a real beautiful girl, and I'm glad it worked out.
Well, the vet said she was going to be 55 pounds, and I believe that she is a bigger dog than they originally thought she would be.
You think so?
I think really her ideal weight might be 62, 63 pounds. She's overweight right now. So
okay.
But other than that, I think that 55 pounds is a little less than what she will be in the end.
Well, she certainly was meant to be with you because that was one of those I was determined to find you a dog. I just had to find one that you fell in love with.
It was my mission
to find you a dog.
That picture you sent me originally, she had such a pixie little look to her.
I know. She's a beauty.
The people that had her, I think, wanted to keep her, but their dogs didn't like her. That was very funny.
The foster people?
Yeah, they had little dogs that really didn't like Pearl.
Right. Right, which you can understand, you know, that they don't like these interlopers that come and go. So, anyway, it's all good.
It is all good. And I think that, like, as we started to talk about people who rescue dogs, you can trust them 100%.
Yes, you can.
So you could trust your friend and Sandy Hook with all those trouble to dogs.
Yep,
trouble
exactly.
Went to the right people.
Right. Right, which, as you say, was very magical. That was an amazing thing. So I had no idea of the scope of what people were saying until I got down there. I mean, you know, it would take you a half an hour to just get through this tiny town. There was so much traffic and police, and you know, it was surreal. It was really surreal.
I'm just hoping things have settled down for the families there. I'm sure that by now it has. To some extent, settled down with all the press and with all of the attention. But the world is very much hoping for a change in the gun laws and hoping that we can help the people who are tremendously mentally ill not get guns and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, in my opinion, that the Sandy Hook massacre was one of the single catalyst to make the gun law debate come alive again, and it also has caused a lot of misconceptions too, because people tend to think that their guns are. We have a huge gun culture in this country,
right?
And this culture is something that surfaces when at times like this,
right?
But I just pray that we can come to terms with the problems that we have and realize that it's when little innocent children are, you know, killed like that, that something has to give.
Exactly.
It's just the end. We had a shooting here in Lancaster County, not very far from where I now work with the Amish. I don't know if you remember that. It was called Nickel Mine, the Nickel Mine Massacre. It wasn't to the huge extent.
No, I didn't know.
Some deranged gentleman walked into a little schoolhouse they have one-room schoolhouses for the Amish, and he's just shocked these beautiful children.
Mm.
And the whole Amish community, one thing that came to the attention of the world throughout because of that tragedy was that the Amish are very, very forgiving people.
Yeah,
They were, it was almost like a knee-jerk reaction to talk about forgiveness. And
right.
And they went to the gentleman who did the shooting, I think he shot himself. And so the Amish family, all the families in the community rallied to help for the woman who was married to this man. And they helped her, and they embraced her family. It was just like one of those amazing situations.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yes. And It did get some press. Obviously, not every our community certainly realized how important forgiveness is to the Amish and how it lacks in the general society where
exactly.
Everybody has knee-jerk revenge kind of reaction.
Right.
Except I think the families in Sandy Hook had a whole different take on it. They were very, very gentle, sweet about the whole thing.
Right.
But
very, very, very difficult, you know, but I'm glad we did what we did, and you know, it was interesting when I met with the gentleman at the bank. He said, "Well, Sheila," I said, "I think it's very noble what you propose to do." He mm-hmm. said, "What will you do if the donations we receive don't cover your costs?" And I said, "I'm going anyway." So
right,
you know, and they didn't, but we still went because it was the right thing to do, and because. You know, people need hope no matter what's happening. They need that glimmer of hope. So I hope that trouble presented that for, you know.
Well, you
whatever,
know he did.
Yes,
he knows
whatever
that
home
he did.
He's in. Yeah, and he's still there. So I just hope that, you know, these people can heal. And it's just very, very difficult. So we would do it all over again.
So tell us how you intend to make Trouble a Disney figure. I want to hear more about that plan. That sounds
well,
really cool.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I presented Trouble to Disney Junior a year ago December. And mm-hmm. the woman that I met with, she loved him. She loved his look and all of this. And she wanted him to have more development and this, that, and the other. And you know, unfortunately, I think that maybe her boss didn't share her view, but it made me realize that Trouble does have the capacity to be a major character for children.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I knew it anyway, but it was just validation. And my goal is ultimately to have Trouble be, you know, when you see a character like let's say Hello Kitty. Are you familiar with Hello Kitty?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay. Hello Kitty is a billion-dollar Japanese, enterprise character that is a drawing of a cat's head. That's about it. There's no message. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing that I know of. There's not a message behind it except maybe hello, have a nice day, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to myself, I mean, I know and you know that the kind of energy that Trouble has and the kind of comfort that he gives to children and dogs.
Yes.
So my thought is that ultimately I will connect with the right person who has the ability, who has a machine behind him or her, who has the mm-hmm. ability to really get Trouble out there and really help kids and dogs on a global level. That's my goal, and it's very lofty, but I'm not giving up till it happens. So
I know. Well, tell our audience before the end of the show how we can get a hold of you. How we can get in touch with you, which website, et cetera.
Well, thank you. Well, we have a website which is relatively new, and it's www.troubledog.net. And actually, there's a little boy on that website. His name is Trip, and he has had trouble with dogs since he was 3 years old. He's now, I think, 6 and a half. And when you hear him talking, I think that he's the best person to describe trouble because he's talking right from his little heart, you know.
Oh, sweet.
And he is just representative of the magic that surrounds this dog. Kids sleep with him. They tell him all their problems. It's, you know what, Kate? It continues to amaze even me, and I'm not kidding.
Mm-hmm,
it's amazing to me. So, and I work with it every day. So there's some sort of a phenomena happening, and so I've got a feeling that you're going to be hearing more and more about him. And I think the fact that he's made in the United States is going to be a help. I think his house is going to be a help, and I think this ballad might help us out too. So it's really all good, wonderful energy around this character. And he's all about hope.
Yes, tell us how is he all about hope? How was Trouble the Dog birthed, as it were?
Well, we had a year back in 2006 in my family where my niece was 12 at the time, and she lost her dad. I lost my mother, who was her grandmother, and then my golden retriever, Irish, who was her best friend in the whole world, all died of cancer in a very, brief time.
Mm-hmm.
So she, as a kid, unfortunately, was way too tuned into the word cancer. So she was here at my house one night, and the St. Jude Telethon came on. She was drawing it on my coffee table, on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't shut it off fast enough. I just thought, enough for this child about cancer. And her head flipped around, and she said, "Oh, I've got to do something. I've got to do something to help these kids."
Oh.
So she drew Trouble right then and there, bang, and which was pretty magical itself.
Oh my gosh, it is.
Yep, she went on the internet. She went to Pet Finder, and she said, "I'm going to name him Trouble." I said, "Really? Yep." And then she did a little comic book strip, with a little story about Trouble being abandoned. And then, we decided on slogans. For example, where there's trouble, there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
When trouble comes, you're never alone. And Trouble says, be tough. So with those slogans, I then wrote a children's book. I was introduced to a toy licensor who said, "Ugh, I don't want to have anything to do with a dog named Trouble." But he gave me 5 minutes of his time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was through showing him the drawings and everything, he said, I really think you've got something here, which was great.
Yeah.
Yes. And he said, "And I will help you every step of the way." And he's the one that introduced me to his Chinese manufacturer, because they wouldn't have talked to me,
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what's happened, I just had someone say to me last night, they said, "We're so impressed with how far you've come with this character." And I said, "I think I've made all this progress because I didn't know that I couldn't." Because I'm going up against the real big boys. And I had a big boy say to me earlier in this journey, he said, "You need to know that the big companies don't need you. They don't need what you have." And he didn't have a spiritual bone in his body. And I thought, what? I've got a lot more than you think that I have. And so, because Trouble is not just a stuffed animal, Trouble's got a soul going on, and the kids know it, and the dogs know it.
Yeah.
And the soldiers that we donated 200 Trouble dogs and books to Walter Reed Army Hospital, they know it too. So he's a lot more than just stuffing and material. And so someone will come along who gets it, sees the potential, and then the rest will be history.
Yes.
How's that sound? Good?
Yeah, it's good. Now, tell me about the soldiers at Walter Reed and their response to Trouble.
Well, this is interesting. We, through a friend of mine in Maryland, her dad was ill, and he had been a vet, and she wanted to, you know, work with me to make a donation at Walter Reed. So, and a friend of hers also had a nephew who was there, Evan Reichenthal, mm-hmm. and he had lost part of his arm, he lost part of his leg, and so we packed 200 trouble into a car, drove him to Maryland, mm-hmm. and then went to Walter Reed. On the way in the door, the aunt of the soldier who had been hurt just recently, actually, she said, you know, she froze, and she said, you know, I'm uncomfortable with this. I don't know how the soldiers are going to react to this stuffed dog. Well, let me tell you, mm-hmm. it was a life-changing day for all of us. I mean, the soldiers were thrilled. Some kept the dog for themselves. Some gave the dog to their kids. It was a really, mm-hmm. it was a wonderful, wonderful day. And there are things that you just have to do because trouble just brings such comfort to these people. And if we could make them smile for a half an hour and give them something to hug at night when the lights go out, so be it.
Oh, so. Yes, and he is so huggable.
Yes,
he is. I love Trouble the dog.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my dog Ulysses, as you know, was just loved Trouble the dog. And he, as he was dying, he slept with him all the time. And it was a very sweet, sweet, I think it was very helpful to the dog.
Thank you.
Certainly very helpful to all of us.
Yeah. They can sense his energy. And, you know, I have a friend who is very, very intuitive. And many years ago, she watched me. I had trouble at a hospital, and she watched what was happening, unbeknownst to me. Mm. And she said to me, give me a call later on, would you? I said, okay. So I called her later, and I said, what's up? Her name is Linda Dearborn, very, very intuitive girl. And she said, I need to tell you that trouble has a soul. I said, you're kidding. She said, that's why the children are so drawn to him. The children can feel his energy. So I never forgot it. And,
that's part of the magic.
That's correct. And some people understand it and some people don't, and it doesn't really matter as long as he helps the kids. It doesn't, you know, whatever they want to believe or not believe, it's fine with me. But he's not just a stuffed dog. That's for damn sure.
No, actually, Trouble the Dog is one who blows fairy dust.
I'm sure he does.
And that's what, you know, those who can sense that and those who can, who want it and need it are drawn to it, and they get exactly what they need from it.
That's true. Yeah. It's been a wonderful journey. It's been a hard journey for me because, remember, I don't have kids. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. anything about children's books or stuffed animals or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's been a learning curve, but it's something that I feel as though I'm almost there, and I certainly can't give up now. So it's meant to be. It's my mission.
Yeah. Yes, and I do like the look of your webpage. It looks really beautiful. It looks beautiful. Somebody obviously helped you with that, and
yes,
and
well,
did a great
I'll tell
job.
You. This is interesting, too. A girl by the name of Carrie Schluter, who I just cannot say enough about her, she did the web page, and I mm-hmm. met her through Dog Rescue.
Her sister came to look at
Buddy the dog, and he was too big for her. And I realized that Carrie was in PR, and I really needed help at that point. And she has just been an angel in disguise, let me tell you. She has just mm-hmm. been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Yep, I can't say enough about her. We just had a meeting this morning, actually.
Oh, great.
Yep, so she takes her kids to school.
www.troubledthedog.net.
Correct.
Yes.
And people can feel free, you know, to shoot me an email, or my number is 781-631-0887. They can feel free to give me a call, you know.
Is there contact information? It
yes.
says contact me on the website.
Yes, yep.
Yes.
Yep, also. So so we're coming into a really exciting phase with Trouble, I think. And, you know, we have a TV pitch for him and stories and all kinds of stuff. So, yep.
Well, you have a movie. You have some movies, too.
I have a wonderful 8-minute film that a Hollywood director, you know, we collaborated with him. And there also is a rescue dog we rescued from Puerto Rico who's in the movie, who looks just like Trouble. And she was, this was a street dog, and she was superb in this movie. Just super. Mm-hmm. I just can't say enough about her. And she's living the good life here in Marblehead.
The dog is living in, who played Trouble, the dog lives in Marblehead now.
Yes, yep. She came from the streets of Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. I rescued her. The director said, oh, I don't know about working with a dog. I didn't tell him she was from the streets. And she was excellent, and she's now been adopted by a family, and her name is Lola. And mm-hmm. She loves to go out in the boat, and she is just happy as a little clam. So, you know, years and years ago, I had a gentleman who was trying to help me with my trouble mission, and he said, you know, the first thing you need to do, you need to just concentrate on the kids. Forget the dogs. You've got a mixed message here. You're helping dogs and kids. Forget the dogs. Just concentrate on the kids. Well, mm-hmm. if I had done that, a lot of good things that I just explained to you through rescue dogs wouldn't have happened to me. So,
right.
You know,
right.
You have to follow your gut.
Yes, and this brings me to Charmaine Hermond, who I'm on her radio show tonight at 11, so people can listen in. It's on Toby's terms. It's www.blogtalkradio.com, C. Hammond, / C. Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D. So if anybody wants to come over and listen to that interview, and of course you can listen on the archive, but she has written a book called On Toby's Terms. She's a very spiritual woman, and she
Wonderful.
Would be very, very receptive to what you're talking about. This On Toby's Terms, Toby
yes.
was a dog who did service for the elderly and
yep.
for mental health issues. And she wrote a book, and the book is going to be made into a major motion picture.
Isn't that great? Good for her. That's great.
And I think she would. And I told her about you on the show, and
yep.
she was very receptive. So, what I will do, you know how Facebook allows you to tag people. And
I'm not very good at it, to tell you the truth.
Anyway, I can introduce the two of you on Facebook, and you can get on her show and just have a wonderful interview.
Oh, that would be great.
She would understand what you're talking about.
Yes,
and,
that's fabulous.
And then she has a large audience, too, and a lot of people who listen would be, you just never know who's listening.
No,
who will
it's
help.
True.
Who will help.
Nope,
yes.
that would be wonderful. And you know, too, before we go, Kate, I have to compliment you on your prayer prescription book for dog lovers. I read it in like one sitting, and I just loved it. So you're really doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you liked it.
Oh, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No,
yes.
it was wonderful. I just sat right down and read it, so it was great. And I just wanted to say, you know, kudos to you. Good job.
Mm-hmm. I just need to get that book into other hands, you know, and more, you know, spread the word, as it were.
Of course.
And yes, and this is what we're all doing, isn't it?
Exactly.
I think because we have messages that are not self-serving.
That's
we
true.
We have messages that we believe and know in our heart of heart that can enlighten the world, and it's not ego.
That's
and
correct.
It's not harmful in any. You know, it's not the opposite of harmful. So
right.
It is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight and on this show is the 4th anniversary of Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. Yay!
Oh, I know. Congratulations to you. Isn't that great? That's great.
Yes. It is
yes.
fun. I think you've been here on the show 3 times so far.
Have I really? Oh, for heaven's sakes. Wow. Well, thank you for having me. I just so appreciate it. And You're a good soul, and I thank you for all your help.
You're very welcome. I think we all, I thank you for all your help.
Thank you.
You don't have a website for the, I know that when you get a dog from Tennessee, you put it out to all your friends, and you do put it out on Facebook.
I do put it out on Facebook, yes.
And you actually have a Trouble the Dog Facebook page.
Yes, I do. Trouble the Dog Facebook page. You can like it if you like, which would be great. And I'm not the best Facebooker in the world, but I'm learning, and Carrie's helping me. So, yes, thank you.
That's the thing. If people who are listening are Facebook fans, and they can keep in touch not only with what is going on with Trouble the Dog, but if anybody is in need of a rescue dog, and people really want to rescue a dog, which more and more people want to do as opposed to buying purebred dogs.
Exactly. Exactly. They're grateful, they're healthy, and you'll never regret it. They're just, as you know, they're just the best. And I thank you for giving Pearl such a wonderful home.
Well, she's a character. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. She's a beautiful character, and she was meant to be with you, so it's great.
Well, I think every dog you give away, in some great way, they are meant to be where they go.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
and
yeah.
And that might be, it might be that the soul of Trouble the Dog is behind all of this.
It really could be, because it's just, I mean, I could tell you, we don't have enough time, I could tell you story after story after story of dogs that have found their way to heal people. So it's really been great. As I said, I'll just be happy when I can do it on a grander scale. And there's just so much need out there. You know, children in particular, they really need they really need what our newest slogan is, which is sit, stay, hug, no batteries required.
That's on the webpage, isn't it?
Yep, you like that? Yep,
that.
It's
yeah,
the
I
truth.
Do. I do.
Yep, because kids, you know, they're taking their Wiis or their, you know, iPhones or whatever, and they go in the other room, and nobody's talking to them. Just trouble. So there's a big need for hugs out there.
And I want to reiterate that on your TroubleTheDog.net page, the contact page is very excellent. People can put in there anything that they want to ask.
Yes.
And that would go immediately directly into your email.
That's correct. Yep. Exactly.
I bet you were really. This is just beautiful. I bet you
didn't
just love this.
Didn't she do a fabulous job?
Yep,
I can't say, I just cannot say enough about Carrie. She came to me at a time where as I said, I really needed help, and I'm not very computer savvy, and she's just she's an earth angel for me. There's just no getting around it.
And on the first page, the home page, there is a beautiful, you have movies all through here. That is very, very cool.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. And I'm just
thank
trying
you.
To
yeah, it's it's a neat site, and we tried to capture the essence of Trouble, and I think she did a great job.
Do you have any desire to blog on the site? Maybe she could put a blogging. Is it a WordPress? Is it WordPress?
It's
It seems to be really linked.
It's a Wix site, but yeah, she's got beautiful pictures, and you know. There's so much that's happened with Trouble over the years, and so her job was to condense it, and she did a great job. There's also a picture of a Marine, I believe, who's in the hospital with Trouble. I think that's on there someplace too. So
it might be under the photo area.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it might be. But
look at that. Okay, yes. There's a lot of photos there.
Yeah, great pictures. Thank you.
I'm trying to see if Yulia is there. Oh, yeah. I bet he is, though.
I sent her a picture. I told Carrie that you were going to interview me tonight, and I actually sent
Pearlie.
Her a picture.
Pearlie is with. There's a picture
see that?
Of Pearlie in trouble. Yeah.
See?
The
there you
generation.
Go.
The new
yep.
generation.
Yep. So it's.
Oh, these
it's,
are great. I really highly recommend people come to this site. I'll put it on my Facebook page, and I will blog about it.
Thank you.
It's just so wonderful.
Thank you, and good luck with your interview tonight. I'm sure it's going to be fabulous.
Well, it is already. The interview is completed, so that's
how
it
is.
I know. Yes, she pre-recorded it last week, so that's why I'm very excited about the interview because I know it was spot on.
Oh, good.
Yes. And
that's great.
So I'll put. It is a little late in the evening, so. But the great thing about Blog Talk Radio is that most people listen to these programs in the archives anyway. So.
Which is fabulous. Yeah,
I
will definitely listen to it. I might not make it till 11 o'clock, but I will definitely listen to it in the archives. That's for sure.
Well, I really am so happy that you came on the show, and I love talking with you. And you know, someday we're going to have to meet and talk.
Well, we will. We absolutely will. If you ever come this way, let me know, and I'll do the same, because I would love to be able to give that little Pearlie a hug, too. So, and
yes,
you.
Yes. She'll know who you are, even though she'll know all about it.
Yep. They're amazing. It's very rewarding. It's difficult, but it's rewarding at the same time. So,
have you ever read the book called Your Dog is Your Mirror?
No.
You must get that book. It's the gentleman who wrote the book was on this radio show maybe a year or so ago.
Oh, no, I haven't heard about that book.
He was raised by some famous Hollywood dog trainers. And they, you know, he and the father of this man, the author of the book, was pretty punitive in the way that he trained dogs. And the child, the author, saw that from the very beginning. He knew he wanted to have a great deal to do with training dogs, but he didn't want to do it in a punitive way. And
right.
He lives in Vermont, and he has a lot of acreage, and he teaches dogs to he teaches obedience by basically letting them be free, and he plays hide and go seek with them so that and I do that with Pearl a lot too.
I do that too.
She comes to me. Yes. Well, the main premise that I got out of this book was that dogs are closest to humans emotionally than any other animal, even the cat. I know how people love their cats. The cats are really not emotionally embedded in our hearts. Like, the dog has evolved with humans in a way that no other animal has. They have been responsible, according to this author, responsible for the human evolution as to where it is today. We wouldn't be where we are today if it weren't for dogs.
I'm definitely going to get this book.
Yes, it's called Your Dog is Your Mirror. You can get it on Amazon.
Okay, and as a matter of fact, my dog, I shut my office door, and you know, so he wouldn't bark or whatever, so he's standing outside my office door crying.
I can't hear him, but
that's because I shut the door.
You can hear
that's why I call him Crybaby.
Well, give him a kiss for me.
I will.
And I'm so happy that you came on. And have a great evening.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you very, very much. And keep in touch. And I thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. It was just great.
Oh, it was really fun. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, Kate.
Good night. I'm going to be playing music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen.
Okay.
There it is.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.